Wow.
And now look at me, bitch. I'm on the red carpet.
Look at her.
I have
now
manifested this moment. You and did. I am telling you, you got to put what you want out in the world, honey.
Hi, this is Charisse Kenyon, and you're listening to the Beauty Me podcast, all about beauty beyond the BS. Today's episode is so chill to the point where I could actually have a drink, but I'm not going to because I'm already set up. But yeah, it's just me having a little catch up with you about beauty things that I've been thinking about or trying this week. So on the schedule, we've got a segment on the Oscars, of course, which happened earlier this week. Well, at the end of last week, including the intense comments that my Jodie Smith video has garnered. I'm also going to share my first thoughts on a sacred product that I've actually tried. And I'm also going to share the perfume workshop that I attended at Byredo earlier this week. So let's start with the Oscars. It happened Sunday night, Monday morning for us. And I really made an effort this time. I didn't just, you know, go to bed at my usual time of 8 o'clock, maybe 9, and then catch up the next morning. I stayed all the way up until about midnight. And even then, I was writing notes on my phone in my bed, and I do not have my phone in my bedroom ever. My husband was so understanding. I had my laptop and both of my phones just so I could make multiple notes and, you know, look at multiple videos all at once just to really narrowed down exactly who I wanted to talk about the next day. So I did stay up really late, and I just found it a lot more fun, to be honest, because I can only compare it to when we had the Golden Globes. I made an episode about that at the time, and the staff that they employed specifically for Variety, which is like the leading movie industry publication, their YouTube channel, they hired these two people. And they had, it was like they had zero knowledge of fashion, almost like they didn't even know who they were speaking to, and also no real interest in what was happening. So it was really, really bad. But for the Vanity Fair Oscars after party, which is basically as much of an institution as the awards themselves, I was ecstatic to see one of my favorite comedians, Michelle Buteau. She was hosting the red carpet on their YouTube alongside Tan France, who is a stylist, designer, and one of the stars of the Netflix show Queer Eye. Now, I don't watch Tan, but when I do encounter him, there's just something I don't like about him. There's something I don't enjoy about Tan. I'm sure he doesn't care. But he just goes on about women's bodies too much for me. It's often the first thing he will speak about when somebody comes up to him on the red carpet is their body. And I don't even know if he's being genuine half the time. There's just something about it. And also, would it be cool if he was commenting on all these women's bodies if he was a straight man? Would that be different? Would that be more insulting? I just don't like it. I'm just saying. But Michelle Buteau, she made it for me. I really hope that we see her again on the red carpet of the Oscars or the Vanity Fair party. She was just her usual hilarious self. Literally within minutes, she was talking about her boobs, as she likes to do. But she just seemed genuinely happy to be there. And so that's what made it so enjoyable. So much so that I've watched the almost 2 hour long video more than once on YouTube. It's just good entertainment. So when it comes to the looks, whether that's for the ceremony or the after party, for me, the standouts were, but not limited to, because we don't have all day, Carey Mulligan. She wore a beautiful replica Cristobal Balenciaga look modeled on a dress from 1951. It was made from black velvet, had this gorgeous, flattering sweetheart neckline, and then this beautiful mermaid skirt with a scalloped hem that sat over a cream tulle skirt. The result was so sculptural and elegant from every angle. She almost reminded me of like a figurine that you could have in your house. So beautiful. And she was styled actually by Andrew Mukamal, who's been known as the man who has dressed Margot Robbie throughout her extensive Barbie press tour. So he's definitely killing it in the styling game right now. Carrie's hair was by Jenny Cho, and she used the Ultra Luxe Line Hair Ritual by Sisley. It's so lovely. And the makeup was by Nina Park, who, if you don't know Nina's work, she is like a makeup whisperer. She has the most delicate touch. she makes everyone look like that's how they were born. They were just born that way. They woke up that way. I can't describe it. She's just so delicate. And I feel that she puts a lot of time into the looks in order to make them look effortless. So that's the perfect partner for this look, because the team needed to allow the dress to be the moment. Carrie's hair was just a chic bob with side parting. And then the makeup was really subtle and neutral. But it's the makeup that in particular came in for some criticism, none of which I agree with. The more friendly comments said that, oh, it would have been nice if she'd worn an amped up lip. And I do think she could have carried it because she had this black and cream look, the black velvet gloves. Maybe she could have had a pop of colour on the lips. A lot of people were saying they would have loved to have seen a red or at least a very glossy pink lip. Some of the more brutal reviews said that the makeup basically ruined the look, which I'm sorry, no. I thought Carrie looked beautiful. We're still talking about her today. I feel this is the look people will be talking about years from now. I also loved those black velvet gloves that I mentioned. They came right up her arms, kind of in line with the top of the dress. And she also had these gorgeous, very chunky Fred Layton diamond studs. Someone else that I felt compelled to make a video about was my favorite, Greta Lee. She's the past live star. She was not nominated for Best Actress. She should have been. She wore two Loewe looks, which is no surprise as she's one of their ambassadors. Her first look for the ceremony was taken straight from the autumn winter 24 runway. And it was this black column dress that was so, so simple, but it had the addition of this white fabric that went around her neck and flowed down her back and then kind of attached to her pockets at the front in these two white kind of pillars. For me, it was quintessential Greta. I think she is now the queen of simple style. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way. I think she absolutely knows how to take something simple and make it striking. Her second look was so beautiful. It was a bespoke look from Loewe. It was the most delicate silk satin. I just can't work out the color. I think some might describe it as champagne, others cream, but then in other images, it's almost got a tiny hint of green to it. And it had these tiny little donut-shaped pieces of jade that were sewn all around the halter neck, around the front and the back of the dress. They're so pretty and unusual. I still can't stop looking at this one. And what I really liked about Greta Lee was how her hair and makeup for each look was just slightly different. For the ceremony, her hairstylist Takuya Yamaguchi gave her this incredibly slick side-parted style using several Bumble and Bumble products, including one of my favorites, Brilliantine. It was all about glossy, shiny hair. And for the ceremony makeup, Naoko Shinto prepped the skin with La Mer and used all Ilia products to create this very glowing skin. There was a touch of dark shadow right in at the lashes, and then she had a rosy pink lip. But for the Vanity Fair after party, Naoko took the rosy lip all the way down. It was much more subtle, still pink, but she seemed to amp up the highlighter. And then we had a new hairstylist who's simply known as Lily on Instagram, who gave Greta this really undone middle parting look, almost messy, and I loved it. I also made a video about Kendall Jenner, and I can't get over the levels of hatred for her, especially on TikTok. I would never say I'm a fan of Kendall's. I wouldn't say I'm a fan of any of the Kardashian Jenners. But do I watch the show? Yes. Do I appreciate many of their fashion or makeup moments? Yes. Do I think Kendall in particular warrants toxic commentary? No. I'm never going to say that she's a supermodel, but honestly, the way these TikTok comments have gone, you would think that Kendall had robbed these people of their firstborn children. It's just pretty horrific, and I just won't answer them. I have deleted a few as well. But in the video where I talk about what she's wearing, it's actually a piece from the fashion show that shook the world recently, the John Galliano from Margiela Artisanal Collection. And that collection even had, you know, those people that are the most uninterested in fashion, even they were talking about this show for weeks. And much of that, of course, was down to the makeup, which I covered in a recent episode. I'll share that for you in the show notes. And that was by the amazing Pat McGrath. She created this doll-like glass skin, and we're still waiting for her to bring out a product so that we can do it ourselves. But she set the world alight. Makeup artists and enthusiasts all over the world have been recreating this look day in, day out. Pat's still sharing it on her Instagram. But it wasn't just the makeup, let's be real. It was also the fact that the collection was just so beautiful. The silhouettes were so curvaceous. There were lots of corsets. There were so many sheer fabrics and the most delicate fabrics. And what Kendall had chosen was this beautiful black lace dress. It had a patterned lace. It had, I think, like it had a couple of different patterns of lace along the top. It was a more simple, finer lace panel that went across her chest and shoulders. And that went over a white corset that really cinched her in at the waist. And then the sheer fabric went all the way down to the floor where the lace developed into a kind of different pattern. And to maintain the modesty of the wearer, because obviously it's completely sheer, there were kind of more panels at the front to cover up the crotch area. You need to see it to believe it. For me, this dress plus the most beautiful undone hair by Gregory Russell and the most perfect red lip by Mary Philips made this an undeniably beautiful look. Like, I would argue all day with anyone who says they hate this look. And that's the interesting thing. Nobody said they hate this look. They just do not like Kendall. Like, I just, for me, if I don't like someone, I'm not going to comment. I just don't get it. Why expend that energy? But if you disagree, feel free to let me know in the DMs at Beauty Me Podcast on Instagram. Just do it in a constructive way and we can have a chat, because we do not need any more hate in the world. One of the other videos I made also kind of touched on the wrong side of the internet. Currently, my video on Jodie Smith, formerly known as Jodie Turner Smith, and currently going through a divorce from Joshua Jackson, is on 103,000 on Instagram and 79,000 on TikTok. And there are hundreds of comments. And of course, most of those comments are positive, because how could they not be? The video was about Jodie's skin. And I said, no one cares what Jodie was wearing to the Oscars, because the world has been transfixed by her glowing makeup and her glowing arms, her glowing legs, her decolletage. Like, everything about Jodie was glowing. She was a vision. That's the simplest way I can put it. The video has been so popular that Charlotte Tilbury, the brand whose products were used to create the look, contacted me asking if they could use the video and also send me some products. So I'm looking forward to that. And I did try to get the makeup artist who actually created the look, Kelechi, who is the brand's global head of artistry, to have a quick chat with me on the show, because she's had so much love in my DMs and the comments. I really just wanted to have a quick moment with her on the show so that you could hear her voice and hear how she created it. But unfortunately, she's shooting over the next few days, so she could not make that time. But either way, you have to check the video out. I've just loved the love that she gets. Earlier, though, I did mention that it kind of touched on the wrong side of the internet. And basically, that means it reached the attention of men. No, not all men are this type of man. But you know the kind of men that leave comments like, ugh, she's hot, and you wonder what they're doing while they're typing that. But also the men that instantly brought up the fact of her divorce. And also there were women bringing up the fact that her ex Joshua's new partner, Lupita Nyong'o, was also at the Oscars. For me, one has nothing to do with the other. First of all, it has nothing to do with my video. My video is about Jodie looking beautiful. I'm not talking about her personal life. I get it. People love to create this story of she looks amazing. That's the revenge dress. I get it. But I truly think Jodie was there to have a good time and to look good while doing so. And I also think the same of Lupita. Jodie's hair, by the way, was like a metallic silver, and it just looked even more stunning against her skin. I just haven't liked the tone of the comments that keep bringing Lupita up. What was really funny, though, is that every now and then a comment would come up saying, I love that you made this video about how Jodie looks and not about the fact that Lupita was there. And I'm like, but you just brought up Lupita. So I can't lie, on this Jodie video, people are arguing amongst themselves, and I've let them. I will delete comments that are insulting to the person in the video. But if the people want to insult each other, I'm just like, you guys go ahead, because I guess you need something to do. By the way, Charlotte Tilbury did kindly send me a full list of all the products used, because I have had people saying, you can do that with Vaseline. In the video that I made, I highlight two products, which is, of course, the Charlotte's Magic Cream and also the Hollywood Flawless Filter, which is a brilliant product. I've used it myself. It is so gorgeous under makeup or on its own. And yeah, there's been lots of people saying they must have put something else on top. We need to know. So here is the complete list of products used to create Jodie Smith's glowing Oscars look. Magic Serum Crystal Elixir, Glow Toner, Magic Hydrator Mist, Charlotte's Magic Cream, Magic Body Cream, Beautiful Skin Foundation in 16C, Beautiful Skin Radiant Concealer in 15, Airbrush Flawless Finish in 4, Pillow Talk Matte Beauty Blush Wand in Dream Pop, Hollywood Flawless Filter in 8, Super Nudes Easy Eye Palette, Eyes to Mesmerize in Chocolate Bronze, The Classic Eyeliner in Black, Pillow Talk Push Up Lashes Mascara, Brow Cheat in Black, and at the end it says new collagen lip bath in Pillow Talk Deep, coming soon. So even going through that list, there's several of those products that I have used. I can absolutely say the Beautiful Skin Radiant Concealer is gorgeous. It's like this kind of creamy, glowy concealer that melts into your skin but gives you the coverage that you need. I love it. Also, the Airbrush Flawless Finish Powder. I love that. These are some great powders that come in a range of colors as well. And also, I have to say, the Pillow Talk Push Up Lashes Mascara, I missed that one. I used that up when I had it. It's so good. I'm definitely keen to try more of the skincare, and I think I need to finally try this Magic Body Cream. By the way, before I move on, Charlotte Tilbury and her team also did makeup for Emily Ratajkowski, Salma Hayek, who looked stunning with her wet look hair and this silver one shoulder gown. Honestly, I should have made a video about Salma. I didn't. As well as Michaela J. Rodriguez, also known as MJ Rodriguez from the hit show Pose. And what I love is that everything that Charlotte and her team does is all about making that human look as goddess-like as possible. And they nailed it with Jodie. So I'll make sure that you see the link to my video on Jodie in the show notes. You have to watch it. And yeah, let me know what you think. I felt bad that I said no one cares about the dress, but if you do want to know, it was a Gucci dress. It's black velvet and it is gorgeous. But yeah, she basically could have worn a paper bag and I still would have made a video about her. I should say I did make many of the videos, but some of my favorites I didn't get to make a whole video about include Emma Chamberlain, who wore Thom Browne. She wore a white shirt with a high-waist black skirt and really heavy eye makeup. I loved the Best Supporting Actress winner, Divine Joy Randolph, who wore custom Louis Vuitton in this beautiful pale blue that had these big fluffy kind of sleeves. I also loved Hunter Schafer in a black Bottega Veneta strapless dress that was styled by the brilliant Dara, who is just thriving as a stylist right now. And finally, Adwoa Aboah. If you don't know her, she is a beautiful model that's also starred in the hit TV show Top Boy, which is amazing if you haven't watched it yet. Adwoa wore a sculptural chocolate leather Marni dress, and I really loved how she wore these really orange-based reds on her lips, nails, and the shoes. And I also loved that she wore a ponytail too. Next, I wanted to give you a brief mini review of Sacred, the hair care brand launched by Beyoncé, in case you didn't know. My friend Clay bought the entire range and paid £60 shipping, but he didn't realize that his lovely partner had also bought him the entire range for his birthday. So he ends up with two of everything, and he asked me if I was interested in trying any of the products. I paid him for his spare moisture sealing lotion because I'd seen a really positive review by YouTuber Carolyn Gray, where she took us through the entire Sacred experience in her home, from washing and conditioning her hair to styling it. And overall, she really liked the range and how it performed. And she pointed out that in the future, she might use less of the moisture sealing lotion. And that point definitely helped me. I made sure not to use too much. So I used the moisture sealing lotion last Thursday night after washing my hair. I then blow dried my hair, but then I got to that point where I was like, oh, I can't be bothered to straighten it right now. I thought, let me just straighten it tomorrow. But I was already impressed with my blow drying attempt because my hair felt both softer and stronger, almost thicker all at once. It felt really good. If I could have been bothered, I should have flat ironed it that night. But I was like, this feels really good. And I did feel like I could have used less of the product in that moment. I felt maybe it creates a teeny weeny film on the hair. But overall, my hair felt so good. I didn't need to put anything else in it. I literally just tied it up and went to bed. The next day, I was super lazy. I still liked how my hair felt, so I just stuck a cap on because I knew I'd booked in for a hair consultation. I booked in with stylist Lorraine Dublin, who runs My Hair Bar in Warren Street, London, and she was so warm and welcoming, and she kept offering to flat iron my hair. She was like, I don't just want you to pay for the consultation. You've come all this way. Let me give you something else. So I was like, okay. I think it took her maybe 5 minutes, and my hair was so silky and so straight and flippy. Like, I understand why so many people that reviewed Sacred on Instagram were flipping their hair. Like, it was really cool. Lorraine put nothing on my hair, by the way. She just used her flat irons and, you know, what was on my hair from Sacred. So that was last Friday, and today, the day I'm recording, is Thursday, and it's the first day my hair looks frizzy, and that's purely because I got it wet in the shower, but it does need washing. But honestly, that really made me think that the Sacred Moisture Sealing Lotion is going to be an absolute must for me in the future. It is, I feel like it's a product that does a lot of things. Right now, my hair is ear length, and I'm trying to grow it into a jaw length bob with Lorraine's assistance. So I definitely think I don't need to use as much product next time, especially as even Lorraine herself said she could feel it on my hair when she was flat ironing it. I did think when the bottle first arrived, oh my God, this isn't going to last long, because I'm a very heavy-handed person when it comes to hair care, body lotion, perfume. You know, I like to use, but I'm really confident that this is going to last me a while, which makes it well worth £37. I hope to be able to review the full collection at some point, but so far, based on this one product, I would easily give Sacred a 4 out of 5. I'll leave a link in the show notes for you in case you want to check it out. Finally, I wanted to share just a lovely time that I had recently at a fragrance workshop with Byredo. When I first made the decision to purchase a ticket for the workshop, it was purely on impulse. I got an email, I clicked, I saw that it cost £60. I was like, I don't care, because it was all about my favorite Byredo fragrance. In fact, one of my most favorite fragrances ever, Mojave Ghost. So I was happy to spend that £60. And then I also spent another £60 in getting there because I don't live in London. I'm there several times a week, but on this day I had no work booked in. So me spending that extra £60 was purely because I felt like this could be a real treat for me. But on the day of the event, I don't know if this ever happens to you, it had been really grey all day and I'd made a really annoying error with my client work, and I was really not happy with myself, even though I managed to tidy it up and I feel like everybody was happy in the end. I just felt really like meh. And I started to think, you know what, maybe I'll just stay at home. I'll just wash my hair, sit on the couch and order Nando's. But I really had to have a conversation with myself, because I know if I'd been going to London for work that day, I would have done everything to get there ahead of time, be prepared for my client. And I was like, why, when it comes to something that's purely for you, why are you thinking of ditching it and staying in your pajamas just because you had a crappy morning? Like, I really had to talk to myself. Don't get me wrong, though. I'm a firm believer in, if you don't want to go to something, don't go. But there was just something else happening this day. So I went upstairs, I did my makeup. I actually modeled my look on Billie Eilish's makeup from the Oscars, and By the way, yes, I did make a video about Billie's look because I loved it. Her makeup was very pink toned, pink under the eyes, very flushed cheeks, and her lips were kind of like a pink gloss, but with a red lip liner. And I really loved it. And I really enjoyed doing my makeup, by the way, at that time. I just sat there, did my makeup. Then I put on my favorite new coat, which is a trench coat from Zara. Honestly, I feel like the trench is a look in itself on its own, and I love it. And I also decided that it was time to get back into my heels. You know, when before the pandemic, you might have been like me, prone to wearing heels for anything, even if you live and work in London and there's cobbled streets. So I packed my new but old YSL patent heels. I found them on Vinted, so hence the reason why they're old, but they're new to me. In perfect condition, by the way. And I made my way to the station for what would be a 2-hour journey. Once I got near the Byredo store on Lexington Street, I bumped into one of my good friends, Rachel, and that just felt like a cute omen because I think I'd been feeling a bit nervy about going to an event on my own. Again, if I'm going for work, it's work, so I put on my work face and I can walk into any event and like get the job done. But because I was just going as me, I just felt like a little bit out of my depth. I didn't know what to expect. And it was really funny, actually, because I was wearing my last spritz, literally my last spritz of Byredo's Mojave Ghost. And my friend Rachel, who's been on the podcast before twice, once during the pandemic and once on a fragrance special because she knows her fragrance, she just said to me, "Are you wearing Mojave Ghost?" And I was like, "Yes." So again, that's why I thought it was an omen, a cute little omen. So headed off to the store, and there wasn't any of that vibe when you walk into stores and they don't look at you. There are several stores like that in London, I have to say. I think they weigh you up before they open the door. They think, am I letting you in? For different reasons, not just racism. Often it's like the importance factor. Like if they don't know you, do they need to let you in? I had none of that at Byredo. I was welcomed in and quickly escorted up the spiral staircase, which I really wanted to film for you, but I was wearing the heels. I wasn't going to do that. I did not want to tumble in Byredo. Went upstairs and I met Ricardo, who was the host of the event, as well as Taylor. They were both so lovely. And I saw that it was just those two. And then there were four places laid out for guests. The other attendees were really nice, super chill. And it just ended up being such a nice way to spend an hour. I felt like the fact that I'd built it up and traveled a couple of hours to get there, dressed up, or, you know, not dressed up, but done my makeup, put my heels on. I just felt like it was such a nice time. So the way the hour went, first of all, we enjoyed some champagne and Ricardo gave us a little bit of history on the brand and its founder, Ben Gorham, who is amazing. Then he asked us to close our eyes as he began to tell us the story of Mojave Ghost, which first launched 10 years ago. With his description, Ricardo painted a picture of the scent, which is inspired by the soulful beauty of the Mojave Desert. I don't know if you've actually managed to see any of the new campaign imagery to celebrate 10 years, but it features Lisa Rinna of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, her daughter, Amelia Gray, and she's just like this otherworldly creature that's in the Mojave Desert. And we see all the elements, we see day and night, we see rain, we see, you know, the very dry, dusty landscape. And I feel that it's like the most modern take they could create around this fragrance. I'll leave a link to the, if I can find it, I'll leave a link to the actual video imagery of Amelia so you can see exactly what I mean. I really love how Byredo pays so much attention to things such as video and all their elements. It's definitely not a brand that just churns things out. In the next section of the workshop, Ricardo shared three samples of what he called raw materials, which were essentially the notes that make up a scent. We would smell them one at a time and then each share our immediate thoughts. And then as the scent evolved, we would add to those thoughts and maybe even change them. Ricardo shared a base, heart, and top note, and I found it really interesting when he described how the base note of a perfume is there to act as an anchor, to actually help the scent grip to our skin. And it just, I don't know, something clicked in me. It really made sense. That's why they call it a base. It's like it clings to you. And often that's the part that we're left with. I love it when, you know, I put perfume on at 10 a.m. and I'm heading home at 5 and I can smell just the last touches of it on my wrist. I feel like, no, it's not perfect. It's not fully there, but you start to love that end note as much as you love the first time you sprayed it on your skin. Also, I have to point out that when Ricardo asked us to think of a floral note, I got it right. I guessed that this particular sample was violet. Yes, I felt smug in the moment, and also I felt like maybe I should put myself up to be a nose. But then Ricardo said, well, noses are usually born, they are not created. But if you did want to try, you have to be able to label 300 scents and describe them with 3 words each. So no, I'm probably not at that level. But for me, honestly, I think it's the fact that I love this perfume. And for me, it's always had a tiny hint of those little purple sweets called Parma Violets. So that's really where it was taking me. That's why I said violet. Once Ricardo had broken down some of the notes, he then gave us the actual scent to discuss. And I loved how one of the guests, Craig, who is a hairstylist, he said that the workshop had made him actually like the scent because he'd never enjoyed it before. We then had this kind of chat about the power of scent and how it's truly an emotional thing. I even asked them, if you had to choose, which scents would you lose? Would it be taste or scent? And Ricardo, being Italian, said there's no way he's getting rid of taste. I don't think I even answered it myself because they're so intrinsically linked. But unfortunately, that hour flew by. I could have easily stayed for a few hours. I think it would just still fly by because they just did a great job of educating us without boring us and letting us explore the fragrance and also chatting amongst ourselves. I thought that was really nice and just different. Don't normally do that on a Wednesday night. But I had to get my train back to Birmingham, by the way. The workshop finished just a couple of minutes after 7 and my train was 7:40. But I was like, I can do this. My nearest station was Oxford Circus. That was literally 2 stops to Euston, which is where I get my train from. So I popped downstairs to treat myself to the roll-on perfume oil version of Mojave Ghost because I've had that in the past, and layering that with the perfume, oh, it's so good. But I was pleasantly surprised because they redeemed the cost of the ticket against it. So basically the perfume oil cost me a fiver. So I thought, let me get the hand cream as well. But I had to stop at that point. I really want the shower gel and the body lotion too, but I had to leave. And I know for a fact that it was a great event because honestly, even if they hadn't redeemed the ticket price, I would not have been complaining. It was still money well spent. I really enjoyed this evening. I really want to go again. And I really loved how the host, Ricardo, never assumed anything. Before he would share anything, he would first ask us about what we thought or what we knew of the brand. It was all in the details. And for me, that is what Byredo has always been about. And I hope it stays that way. Well, I think it's a good idea to end on a high note. I'm not being corny, talking about perfumes. I just think it's a good place to end. If you have enjoyed this episode, do please share a review or rating anywhere that you like to listen. I do see them and they really do help get the show out there. So do keep those reviews and ratings coming. I think if you're listening on Apple or Google, you can share a written review. But on Spotify, you can just give me a mark out of 5. Feel free to give me a 5. But yeah, it makes a big difference. If you're not already following the show on Instagram, be sure to check it out at Beauty Me Podcast. And don't forget, I'm going to leave links to videos and products that I've mentioned in the show notes. And if you want to see some pictures from the Byredo event, be sure to sign up for free to my newsletter at beautymenotes.substack.com. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next time.